tonight, back to the book of Galatians. We left off in the fifth chapter, and thanks be to God. Boy, we're getting into something tonight. It's just so wondrous how God is, again, just bringing forth these things that, thank the Lord that we've grown up in these truths, so many of us, and grateful to God, but thanking Him even the more that we're giving the more earnest heed to these things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen, amen, amen. We'll go ahead and read the 17th through the 26th verse of the fifth chapter. It says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." As we begin this passage, I want you now to turn over to Romans. To begin in the third chapter, we're going to have much review, giving the more earnest heed. The line upon line and line upon line, how much strength we receive, and the only strength we have is, praise God, in the Word. But in the third chapter of Romans, let's read the 20th verse. It says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Need to state it a little bit more clearly? Let's jump over to the 28th verse. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Praise God. How wonderful, how simple, how precious. It's just merely believing in Jesus. If you go over to the fifth chapter, the first verse. "Therefore, being justified by faith." Praise God. It's by faith. We are just by faith. We have peace with God. See, we don't have peace with God because of our works or our actions or our efforts. We have peace with God by faith in His Son. In His Son. All right. Now go over to the sixth chapter. And let's begin reading from the sixth verse. "Knowing this," see, we know this, "that our old man is crucified with him." See, that old man is crucified with him, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Isn't that something, how he put in "should"? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for encouraging my heart, that as those legalists try to nip at me, I look to your word, and I'm understanding more and more these two natures. "For he that is dead is freed from sin." See, isn't that wonderful? Now there's an "is." That's not a "should." That might be or going to be. "He that is dead is freed from sin. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once unto sin. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon," that means it's been imputed to you, brothers and sisters, it's what it is. ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. I always have been encouraged by that. Not as an excuse or an out for me, but thanks be to God that the word of God is what it is. It's truth. It is the reality of everything. He didn't say don't let sin reign, exist in your life. He said don't let it reign. Don't let it reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves. See, there's a yielding unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now let's go over to chapter 7, across the page. And in verse 4, it says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. That's what it is. Now, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. Amen. We should. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. How awesome, how wonderful the provision that's been made and the power that's been given, praise God, to yield to the Lord. And we're in it. Preach no other gospel, the grace of God. Now, turn with me over to 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9 tells us, whosoever is born of God. You're born of God? Did you take Jesus as your Savior? You're born of God. You're born again. And what is that? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Let these precious words of life just saturate you. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's awesome. We are secure. Praise the Lord. The seed that remaineth, we cannot be separated from the love of God. He cannot deny himself. Christ liveth in me. He cannot deny that life. That's his life. It can never be separated from God. We are now the sons of God. Now, going back to our text, think of who Paul is speaking to. He's speaking to saved ones. And we can read back in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. Because ye are sons. These Galatians are sons. They're saved. They're Christians. And they are sons. Amen? Amen. But these Galatians have completely gone after the flesh. He calls them bewitched, not obeying the truth, seeking to be made perfect by the flesh. But they're still sons. They're still sons. Their state never changed. They're born of God. Now, notice what we just read in our text. Paul even includes himself with them when he says, if we live in the Spirit, and we do, praise God, because we're born of God, we should also walk in the Spirit. Just because Christ lives in us, brothers and sisters, does not mean we're walking in Spirit. It does not mean that he is ruling and reigning in our lives. Now, we know these things. But as we get into this text that we're addressing, God willing, this week and probably next, and who knows, maybe another week in it, can be used by many And it's the enemy that does it all the time. To distort, to confuse, and to try to wrongly divide the word of truth. And that is the truth. So this is something that should not catch us unawares as we go through this study. But I'd like to finish the thought through this whole part. He says, but we are not as they that do such things. There in verse 21. We're not as they that do such things, that don't inherit the kingdom of God. Because the ones that do such things, that are led completely of that flesh. See, when you were born of God, the flesh was crucified with him. It's nailed to the cross. You live in the newness of life. Praise God. That's your life. That we are seated in the heavens in Christ. But these are they that he's speaking of here that are unsaved and that by nature practice works because that's all that they can do. They're unsaved. Excuse me. They're unsaved. And all they can do is practice self-works. That's all an unsaved person can do. And in that life of death, because they have not put on the old man, and because they have not put on the new man, because they are not born again, and because they are not born again, because they have not put on the new man, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's as simple as it is. That is as simple as it is in this inheritance of the kingdom. And brothers and sisters, by God's grace, when we hit this again, if the Lord tarry, there'll be some other layers in this inheritance for the next couple weeks to come. But getting back to verse 17, it truly tells it like it is. There's two natures staring us right in the face. All believers are born in the Spirit. All believers live in the Spirit. But all believers do not walk in the Spirit. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, though all believers are the new creation, though all believers are justified completely, some walk as men, some mind earthly things, and some live as if they're living after the flesh. Christ in them? Sure enough. Sure, Christ is in them. My saved brethren, praise the Lord, but maybe babies, carnal, legal. And they act as those who serve the lusts of the flesh. Acting anything but like the truly mature sons of God. Amen, amen. And in yielding to the flesh, brothers and sisters, as it says right there, ye cannot do the things. This is the 17th verse. Ye cannot do the things that ye would. See, in the flesh, we cannot yield to God. We're not pleasing to God. We're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the pleasing to God, to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. But we cannot do the things that we would. We cannot be fully purposed in heart to run well when we go by works or by flesh. We cannot do the things that we would to be transformed into all that God has planned for us. Because when we go after the flesh, brothers and sisters, we've fallen from grace. When you go after the works, being made perfect by the flesh, we've fallen from grace. And it happens so subtly, and it can be so quick. And in that flesh, going that way, it just begats more flesh. The judgment, the condemnation, critical spirit, all of these different things just compound in our lives as we go after trying to merit favor with God by me, as opposed to what it really is, any favor to God is Christ in me. Now, that fall, or that falling away, can manifest itself in many ways. And we're going to read here in a couple verses of all of those many ways. Whereas what we read about the Spirit, brothers and sisters, as we know, it's so wonderful because the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is one. You yield to the Spirit by God's grace, and hallelujah, it is so wonderful, it's all there, there is nothing lacking. And bottom line, brothers and sisters, that is the vision that he has for each and every one of us, is to finish with a full joy. And it will never be realized without grace. We cannot run well without grace. We cannot even run one step without grace. There's no way to overcome without grace. And this verse is the evidence that grace is the power not only for forgiveness, but it's the power to yield our members to Christ Jesus. The power that we can be servants unto righteousness and holiness. And brothers and sisters, we need the grace of God. Praise His name. We vitally need the grace of God. And aren't we thankful that God always makes it so abundant? As it says, and God is able to make all grace abound. I love how he starts that. I'm able, all grace. Not just grace abound, but all grace. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound or superabound to every good work. And see, brothers and sisters, as we've rejoiced so many times, those good works are the appointments, true appointments, with trials, with tribulation, with the things that are pressing us out of measure. And I'm so grateful to God that it's the grace of God that causes us to be victorious. We can try to meditate and memorize and all of these different things and say, well, I remember this. And brothers and sisters, it's grace. Just fall on your knees and say, Lord, you said that I would always have this. You said that all grace would abound. It's impossible for him to lie. And I'm telling you, I'm falling before the grace of God tonight. God, I need more grace. Hallelujah. And it took grace to bring us there, that precious grace for grace. And then verse 18 so wondrously says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, and isn't that truly what so many say, but is it really the intention to be led of the Spirit? Or is it to be seen? Is it about my self-righteousness to be seen? My acts? But truly the spiritual are led of the Spirit. And if we are truly led of the Spirit, we are not under the law. I don't try to hit the law. I don't try to fulfill the law because I understand that Christ did it all. I'm so thankful that I rejoice in that law was nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. It is finished means exactly what it says. It's finished. Now go on and grow on, son. I've taken care of that. Grow up into the liberty in me. Grow up into that wonderful grace that's able to cause you to grow up into me in all things. And brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful because it drills it right down. Trying to keep the law will defeat your life. Do you know that? Trying to keep the law will defeat your life. The law was there to understand that we're sinful creatures. That's why it was given. It was given for the purpose to show us that we need a Savior. And praise be to God, it was given for the purpose to know that we need the Lamb of God. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Praise the Lord that it is by faith that ye must be born again, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by me. God set it up that way. He loves his son, and he loves his son so much, and he loved the world so much that how he chose to save us was by having us die and Christ come to live in us. Isn't that awesome? What a story. How incredible. It's not a one-off. It's him. It's his life. That's what's so beautiful. That's what gives me such rest. I'm not just a near relative. I'm not just a distant. There's no grandsons here. No offense. I mean, and they say that the grandsons are so sweet. But this is a son. This is the one that's had the time with the Father. It was a direct connect. Think of these things, how he's done it. This is so intimate. That he's given us that same life. It's been imputed. It's been given to us. So in that, brothers and sisters, a life that is under grace yields to the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? See, by seeking the grace of God and say, Lord, that no longer I, Christ lives in me. Now I'm beginning to live in the Spirit. It's mighty. I don't live by thinking. I live by faith. I don't live by doing. I live by grace. It's amazing. And thank you, Lord. Let this mind be in you, son. Let my mind be in you, which is also in me. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, hallelujah. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. And it keeps the heart and the mind. Hallelujah. And it keeps us in perfect, perfect peace. But brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, you think of that. Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. So a life of grace is a life full and overflowing with Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's a life that just meditates on Him. Walks, sings, praying always. Giving thanks for everything. Understanding, because it's the mind of Christ that, Father, thy will be done. Amen. That it is well. That all things do work together for my good. Because grace has caused me to love God. How awesome. You talk about peace and rest, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. What God has given us. Not just peace with God, but in grace we have the peace of God. We have the peace of God. The same peace and rest that God had when he saw it was done, it was finished. And even as it was created, he rested. It was in the hands of his son. And God rested. And we enter into that same rest when we cease from our own works. We cannot enter in any other way. We have to cease of ourselves. To cease of self and understand that Christ, you have the reins. Praise God. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, you will and do of your good pleasure in me. I am not my own. I am your workmanship. How wonderful. How precious. And we face those decisions like we mentioned every single day. Sometimes choices. But Lord, you choose. Lord, let this be your choosing. Well, I don't know. He'll let you know. Wait. Wait upon him. It's wonderful. But stand in the word. Our Lord is not the author of confusion. The enemy is. And I've been made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything. Anyone who's lacking wisdom, just ask. And he gives it freely. He abradeth not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How all-sufficient our God is. But you think about this, brothers and sisters, this life that overflows with grace and as God wills and does of his good pleasure in us. The life results in being a life that's pleasing to the Father. And in that, I've got to thinking again. And we've talked about it, but maybe in a little bit different way. So I ask you, would Jesus himself think and ask, well, what would Jesus do? You see how moronic that is? You see how stupid that was? Would Jesus sit there and say, well, what would Jesus do? You say, well, that's stupid, because that's Jesus. He just is. He's it. Now, do you get it? It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Let him do it. Let him be. Isn't that beautiful? Yield to the Spirit. Yield by God's grace to grace. Allowing grace and this wonderful gospel of grace. And if we truly are grace saints, you will end up in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly with him, because that is grace's ultimate plan, to be glorified together with him. Amen. That's why I've been encouraged of the Lord, those that preach the grace and glory doctrine. I hear a lot about grace. Wonderful. Yes, it is. And I'm thankful for anybody who's received the grace. And that's what you had to receive anyways. To be saved. Praise be to God. The beginning. Now the grace to win him. The grace to go on. The grace to grow up. The grace to receive faith to believe the word of God. In its entirety, in its fullness, brothers and sisters. Well, you could sit here and you could read it till you're blue in the face. But it's by my Spirit. And what does it say right here about being led of the Spirit? You're not under the law, so it must be grace. Isn't that wonderful? How he puts it all together, the dots so connected. It's me. It's me. It's Christ in you. And that's the hope of glory. All right. Now, verse 19. Let's go to verse 19. Actually, we'll read 19 through 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, these are the works of the flesh. And the only thing that the flesh can produce is lust. It's the truth. That's the only thing the flesh is going to do. You're going to lust after something. It's going to become your focus. It's going to become the sin that reigns. That's what's going to happen when we allow that to fester and to foster and to bloom, in a sense, that lust. And even though every Christian, brothers and sisters, and I want to make sure we understand this, every Christian is seated in the heavens in Christ, that every Christian has put off the old man and by faith has put on the new man, every Christian, because that's what God's grace, that's what that work on the cross did. It put on the new man and those that believe. Here's the evidence of the lie that we're reading about here, the lie that we live when we turn from the grace of God. Do you see that? Do you understand that statement? The lie that we live when we turn from the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. His grace is the victory. But when we turn from grace, no matter what it's going to be, for that keeping power, we're going to begin to live lies. Things that aren't true. Things that will happen, but that's not you that is seated in the heavens in Christ. That is not the new man who lives in you. Come on. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. That is the reality of it all. And here are the things that the flesh lusts after. And the enemy can so fool our flesh, brothers and sisters, that, you know what, sometimes, and this is such a good test sometimes of thinking about, well, what am I being led of? Well, if you think and you're proud about, well, I've conquered that one, well, don't worry, this one's got you right here. As that one guy said, well, vanity gets them every time. And it's the truth. And that's exactly what happens. See, flesh can't get away from flesh. It's a pious thing. We can never win in flesh because flesh is weak. It's quick to sin, and the earthly cannot serve God. Let's go ahead and start with adultery. Now, adultery, everybody knows what that is. Most people think, oh, that's an outward sin. It's very evident. I can point that one out right away. But what about when we, Christians, accept another head in our life besides Christ? That's adulterous, isn't it? When we're not allowing him to lead our lives, brothers and sisters. So let me tell you something. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's why we do need to be praying always. We are weak creatures. The spirit is willing. You know it. But the flesh is weak. We need to feed. We need to pray. We need to be quick with a repentant heart too. Because you know why? We're going to fail. We don't want to become hardened. Ye that are spiritual, restore. Praise the Lord. Have such compassion on your brother and sister in Christ. That's your body. But for the grace of God, there go I. Hallelujah, to have that heart of the love of God that wants people to win his best. That you want them to succeed no matter what happened. I know that there's things that have happened in our lives and in meetings and different things, and something will befall on a saint or whatever. Oh, see, they deserved it. My goodness. You want God's people to finish with a full joy. That's it. Or you're lacking the love of God. Every single one. Every single one. Hallelujah. But see, That's what God does. That's what his love does in our lives. And then you go to fornication, brothers and sisters. And, you know, there's a lot of young people that seem to be haunted by this lust. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, God is able. He's able. And how wonderful to trust in his grace and his keeping power. But brothers and sisters, I just want us to know that his grace is sufficient. But again, this isn't just an outward thing. When we compromise our faith, when we yoke together with unbelievers, there's a fornication going on. There's a compromise going on. There's a fooling around going on, whatever you want to call it. It's going on. That's why we can stand so pious. Oh, well, see, I don't do that. Well, you adulterous one, you just left your head and now you're the head. I guess I'm jumping over to idolatry already, aren't I? But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that devil's a subtle one. And if we don't approach him with the grace of God and it is written, we're done. We are absolutely done. Uncleanness. Those are moral lusts, impure motives. And think of the impure motives that we can have so quickly. Deceit, discord. Lot of things in that. Lasciviousness. That's unbridled lust and shamelessness. And I think about lasciviousness. The thing that hurts my heart the most about it when we go that way, brothers and sisters, is it hurts the testimony. It's damaging to the body. And it's a little bit different, but my goodness, we need to really love the brethren, to love that body as the head. And I don't want to do anything to despair and disparage the grace of God. You know? And that's one thing about that word, lasciviousness, I just think is such a damaging to our testimony. Praise the Lord. Now, idolatry. The idolatry is the worship of false gods. But in that, that biggest one might be you. There's a lot of people that basically worship themselves. Now, let's talk about worshiping ourselves. Well, that's that vain one over there. Not necessarily so. I mean, yes, the vain one. But don't exclude the one that's just caught up in the self-pity. Or this world all revolves around myself. I've become the focus of my life. And when that happens, there's an idol. There's something getting in front of my relationship with the Lord. Amen? Some of these things aren't necessarily pleasant for us to hear, brothers and sisters, but they're necessary. They're very vitally necessary. That we're either trusting God and living by faith, or we're saying God either made a mistake or God didn't see this or something of that nature. And we know that those things aren't true. That God knows. Jesus does know. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, self will defeat us every single time. Self-righteousness, whether it's anything of self, it will defeat us every single time. Now, anything that's directing our lives away from the sincerity of the love of God, that's an idol. And a lot of times, some idols, naturally speaking, can be a good thing to the eyes of the world. But the earthly can never serve. The earthly things will always burn. Then we go over to witchcraft here. And sure, witchcraft can be sorcery, satanic evidences. But isn't that exactly what legality is? Sure it is. That's why he said, "Who's bewitched you?" There's a reason for those words. And those words mean things, brothers and sisters. And sure, because see, the substance of the devil is about one thing, and that's exalting himself above God. That's the whole deal in that. And that is absolute bewitching. Now we get to hatred. And again, we must be on guard for this one, because this can really become a lust in our lives when we're done wrong by somebody, when we were done unjustly, when we were injured. God help us not to hate. God help us to love. And what a sweet victory that is. Isn't it wonderful? when the Lord, I'm not talking about us, well, I'm going to just do good. And you can see people in this world doing things of themselves and never giving God the glory. And there we just jump back to, well, there's idolatry. There's all of those different sins. Different ones that might forgive somebody that injured their family or killed in their family. So, oh, I just forgive them. No, the Lord forgave them. The Lord in my heart forgave them. I got over it because of Jesus and His love in my life. There is no way I was going to forgive that. And hatred can be so cruel. Hatred can defeat us so quickly that we get down into things and we justify hatred often in many different ways. Well, I'm just, it's godly anger. No, it's not. It's your old man. It's our old man. It's something that defeats us, brothers and sisters. And God help us to not, as the Word of God goes on to say, harbor any root of bitterness. I believe that's pretty clear. Lord, I don't want to be bitter. Lord, I don't want to harbor these things. We do need to overcome it. Not just get over it, but overcome. And we overcome by His grace. Hallelujah. Now, variance, another wonderful warning in our lives, stumbles many a runners. And variance means dwelling in contention and strife. Everybody's against me. Oh, they're all out for me. Or how about this? Always trying to stir up something with somebody. You just got to find something. Don't be a button pusher. God help us not to do that. I mean, it can be a sickness, brothers and sisters. I'm not kidding you. That it's something that we find funny or encouraging to do that. We want to be spiritual. We want to be a salve. By God's grace, I pray that we would remove ourselves from these things. Because when we stir things up, it inflicts wounds and it hurts. Whereas the bride, her speech is comely. Her ways are loving. The bride is full of soft answers that turn away wrath. She doesn't have a sharp tongue that wants to cut you up. Amen? It's loving. See, these are things, brothers and sisters, to allow the Lord to examine and really search me, Lord. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me to the way everlasting. And you know what that way is? Grace. I need more grace. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit reign. Hallelujah. All right. Now, when we go on with this bridalness, we want to dwell together, don't we? We want to settle down in marriage. And I love to point this out because a marriage that magnifies Jesus Christ is one that doesn't want to devour one another. You know what I'm saying? One-upmanship. It kind of hits it at the end of this chapter. It says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's when you start devouring one another. That's when you start going at it. And brothers and sisters, this is a marriage. We're to settle down. We're a body, tightly fit, compacted. We're getting ready. Hallelujah. And to be ready to marry Jesus. It's time to settle down in marriage. It's time to allow Him to reign. And that's how why God tells us so clearly in His Word. That's why our fellowship better be one thing, and that's the gospel of Christ. When we stray from that, when we get on to other things, it's going to all break loose. The little fox is going to come in, and they're going to spoil the vine. In our personal relationships, this isn't just in the church. This is who we are in Christ. We live by faith. By God's grace, as for me and my house, well, this is the temple of God. Well, wherever it goes, by His grace, I want to serve the Lord. It's not just for the 30 or 40 minutes that we get together at church, brothers and sisters. We're Christians. And they know that we're Christians because of our love one for another. And true love doesn't just happen here and stop there and all of that. It loves always, doesn't it? God's love never ends. It never fails. It endures. It's long-suffering. It's all of those things. And it's fervent. It's passionate. I know we're quiet tonight, and I pray we're receiving these things. Because I believe that we wouldn't come to Bible study if there wasn't the grace to desire to grow up into Him in all things. Like Him. How wonderful. How beautiful our lives become when we are like Him. Like Him. All right. Emulations. It can mean jealousy or malice, but it's meaning of excitement of mind. Zeal for a person or thing, I think, is the real zinger here. And we can have contention when we get into zeal for a person or thing. And I guess one of the things the Lord was encouraging in my heart, thinking about Christians when they just give themselves over to politics. Come on. You know it. Didn't you know that that's our lifeblood? That means everything. That's the direction this country is going to take. Come on now. Are we going to live by faith finally? I wouldn't be American, would I, if I told you to put away your ballot? I'm going to leave that between you and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one thing that is the truth. God puts up whom he will. God puts up whom he will. And you know who God has put up in your life? Pray for them. Pray for them in authority. And if you don't agree with them, pray harder. Pray harder. Pray more. Pray more fervent. Amen? Or are you just going to give up and get more bitter and get more fearful and run around and stir these things up? Brothers and sisters, we got to settle down. Everything you see going on in this world, the war, the rumors of war, it's so abundant. Every nation's got fire now. They're all broke. Come on. We're going to balance what? What budget? $14 trillion, 24, what are those numbers? Come on. And you're worrying about that? You're worrying about something that ain't. It's air, cotton candy, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. We need to start tending upon the things of the Lord without distraction. About what is. And that's what is, and that's what always was, and always will be. And this is going to pass away. The trying of our faith to not set our affections on the things of this world, on the things of this life. That our day is coming. It's coming. It couldn't come soon enough. But it's coming. Praise the Lord. We live by faith. Listen to these words that he gives us, brothers and sisters. It's so wonderful. But see, these things, when we go after them, when we have a zeal for a person or a thing, it's going to divide us. And, you know, we're going to put our confidence in man or put our confidence in, and I say this, brothers and sisters, don't put your confidence in me. I will disappoint you. I pray that you can rejoice in Christ in me, and I want to rejoice in Christ in you. But this is the Lord's. And if we're not looking to the truth, we're looking in the wrong place. If we're magnifying a man, we've missed it. And don't do that. You're hurting yourself and you'll hurt that person. God help us to know that. And I say this in all sincerity. This is his ministry. And praise be to God that we're the saints because of grace that minister. Isn't that wonderful? And we're a body and we're richly supplying because we're his body. Not our own body. We're his body. That's what's so beautiful about it. And he'll do it because it's going to be by my spirit. This is his will. This is his pleasure. And he'll cause us to will and to do of his good pleasure because it's his plan. I didn't desire this and I didn't figure this out. This was just grace that led me this way. And I'm so thankful that we can come in here and just enjoy the Lord. Enjoy his greatness. Enjoy what he's already done and provided. And we live, and we live, and live abundantly as we live by his grace and truth. Hallelujah. So, we go on and say wrath, and we'll go through just a couple more of these. But it says wrath. And I do pray when we think of this that we understand vengeance is the Lord's. Amen? He does it a lot better than we can. He really does. If you'll wait on him, it's exciting. It really is. When you try not to, it's not. It's not good. And I've seen the pit that was dug for me. I have literally seen those fall into it. My heart hurts for them. You know, we're the apple of God's eye. Do you know that? Do you know that he says, don't you touch the apple of my eye? You're his son. Oh, but you don't know what I was doing last night. You're his son. Knock it off. Quit living in fear and self-condemnation and those types of things. And then you'll learn to apprehend the grace that'll deliver you out of that rotten wickedness that you're not. That's not you. I'm glad I can talk to you about these things, because most people, they look at me and their eyes get crossed. I see dove's eyes out there and say, tell me more. Tell me more about who I am in Christ. Tell me more about my precious Lord and Savior who lives in me. Tell me more. Hallelujah. All right. So, vengeance is his. And brothers and sisters, in vengeance is his, I pray that we would truly even more so forgive as he forgives. And not us that's forgiving, because we can't forgive anything. But we forgive because he lives in us. But the question is will we let him reign? Because if we don't, wrath can be intoxicating. It can be all-consuming. And again, it's one of those that we can disguise as, it's godly anger. No, you're just mad. You're mad. You're like animal mad. That ain't no anger. And that certainly is not God's. So, brothers and sisters, it's called our old man. And God help us to give it up, or it will consume us. And as we laugh, it's criable too, because you missed the first trump. These things are the sins that really reign, that just grate on us. And a full overcomer is exactly what that phrase is. It's full. When you let go of every weight, laying them aside, you let them go. Amen. Amen. It is him. And we'll finish up here with strife and vanity. Strife is the meaning to put oneself forward. Isn't that something? You think it's something else, but truly its meaning is to put yourself forward. And see, whereas grace brings the praise to God be the glory. Grace brings, he must increase and I decrease. Grace is her that is all about him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then finally, that other dart that sinks so many is that vanity, that pride. Comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. And I've been fond so much of Luke 18, the Pharisee and the publican. As that Pharisee walked around and said, boy, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. I'm glad I don't do the things he does. I'm glad that I'm so much better, or I give this. Oh, look at my tenth going in every week. And that sweet publican, all he could do was smite his chest. Smite his chest, praise be to God, and say, God, have mercy on me. And I best have that same spirit for you too. God have mercy on you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, that's true humility. And brothers and sisters, these things are very important. They're vital to our lives, what we're talking about. First and foremost, because it's the Word of God. But you know what? We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen? It doesn't catch us unawares here. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. This is the Word, and he's told us these things. And Christ Jesus, again, has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all there. It's so complete. It's so awesome of what awareness that we have in Christ. That the reality is that his life lives in us. And the reality that that life makes us thankful. Are you a thankful person? You need to be even more thankful. Because you know what? We're not thankful enough. We should have been dead over and over and over. Burnt to a crisp, how many times? Over and over. But God. The thankfulness, but for the grace of God, there go I. That I'm not above or apart from anything. That I am capable of anything but God. Know these things. That's true humility, brothers and sisters. The true humility is the striking of the chest. God, thank you. For your mercy is on me. Great mercy. Such wonderful mercy. With that great love wherewith we are loved. Time and time again I fail. so quick to unbelieve, but yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Not only does he say, I'm faithful, he says, I love you. And not does he only say, I love you. He's got a coat and a ring and a kiss and a feast. Honey, I'm thrilled about you. And brothers and sisters, as we see these things creeping in, let grace be apprehended. Don't harden. Don't be stiff-necked. Be tender. Lord, make me even more tender. Quick to repent. I know I'm forgiven, but quick to have a broken heart. Lord, I want this change of mind. Lord, I want this change of heart. Lord, I don't want to be this way. And he'll do it. He'll bring the mind of Christ to reign. He'll have you forgiving what you thought was the unforgivable. He'll have you love what you thought was the unlovable. Is this what we're after? I pray it is. This is the heart of his wife. This is the heart of the heart that's after God's own heart. We'll hit some of these others later on, if he tarry. But I pray we see him. I pray we get more desirous of, to magnify the grace of God. How wonderful that he's invited us in to the feasting of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's stand and be dismissed.